I feel amazing. Without a doubt, I knew we were going to be victorious.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the results are in from Tuesday's primaries in Massachusetts. Well, turnout was low, but the stakes were high in several key races in Massachusetts.
I will have one test in the United States Senate. Is it good for Massachusetts and America? That's it.
I feel amazing. Without a doubt, I knew we were going to be victorious.
Always working hard. I'm going to continue to work hard. I'm going to continue to work with you.
The primary featured a three-way Republican battle for U.S. Senate to take on Democrat Elizabeth Warren, plus some Democratic contests for statehouse seats in western Massachusetts. Joining me to break it all down are WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief James Polyoligopoulos and WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes. Hello, fellas.
Hello, Ian.
Going.
Well, it was another election night just one day after Labor Day, so we're kind of jump-starting the fall election calendar. I think we will start in the Springfield area and head west. James, tell us about the races that you were covering on Tuesday.
So largely throughout the Valley, we had a lot of uncontested primaries, a lot of folks that are by themselves on the ballot and sure enough secured their party's nomination without much issue, with the exception of the Springfield area. We had the Hamden Senate District with incumbent Adam Gomez facing off against Springfield Ward 4 City Councilor Malo Brown. This is a district that encompasses most of Springfield and a swath of Chicopee as well. Also in Springfield, we had the 11th Hamden House seat with incumbent Bud Williams, a longtime face and name in the Springfield area, against Johnny McKnight, who is a middle school grade teacher from Springfield, has appeared on ballots in the past, attempted a mayoral run back in 2015, I believe, and then a city council run after that, neither of which worked out, but all the same, relative political newcomer. He's never held office. And when the results came in, however, it seemed a bit flipped in terms of narrative. There was a lot of discussion over whether McKnight would be able to get the name recognition he needs on the ballot, whereas Malo Brown was pretty well established on the city council. As it turns out, the contest between him and the incumbent Senator Gomez, very lopsided, Gomez securing about 70% of the vote in spots. Whereas with McKnight versus Williams, a lot of door knocking was central to that campaign, based on my conversations with Mr. McKnight. And sure enough, he came within about 200 votes, just shy of beating the incumbent.
So what did Bud Williams have to say about the victory, which, as you say, was, I think, perhaps closer than expected?
Not a whole awful lot. During the post-election party, Malo Brown and Bud Williams shared a venue, and sure enough, Williams came by, spoke to him. He had already declared victory at that point, was not clear on the margin just yet, and after consulting my phone, said not much of anything. He ended up saying, you know, it's a democracy, it's great to see people running, and it's great to have the confidence of his district vote him back in, but when it came to the margin and his opponent, not a whole awful lot from Williams on that front.
And what about the Gomez race? Do we get any idea about what his plans are? Obviously, we should just say here that these primaries were pretty determinative, heavily Democratic areas without Republicans waiting in November.
Exactly. And I will say on that note that largely, when it comes to policy, not a lot of talk on the campaign trail. Either it's largely because of agreement or simply because policy was not part of the campaign strategies for either of these camps. Gomez's hopes for his next term is largely the same as Williams's. It's hopes on this economic development bill that stalled out during the last formal session. Gomez is pretty determined to see it through. He's apparently received hints that it will come back up in the legislature post-election season. Williams is also optimistic about it. He went as far as to say there's money in the economic development bill that's very pertinent to the area, including a healthcare center that's been proposed and is already being designed. It's a joint venture between MassMutual and Bay State Health. But largely, it's getting that done and reapproaching other pieces of legislation, like bills that had to do with pharmaceuticals, potentially the hospital bill. But really, it's in that order. The economic development bill gets top billing.
So before we go to the Berkshires, just one more thing for you, James. You know, we know that there was early voting and mail-in voting. The Secretary of State, Bill Galvin, was hoping that turnout would get to 15%, which doesn't sound that high. You were able to talk to some voters who were voting in person in Springfield on Tuesday. What was the mood of the electorate, at least anecdotally?
Exactly. So I ended up spending some time roughly in the center of the Hamden 11th, which of course has a great deal of overlap with the Hamden Senate district seat. Most folks who I spoke to didn't necessarily want to say who they were voting for, but were definitely hoping for a change of some kind. The consensus was easily public safety, as well as housing costs. One person I spoke to went into detail about just simply wanting to see change at all levels and voting for the person that she felt embodied that the most. Of course, both incumbents getting reelected. I'm not sure how that plays into that, but largely speaking, not a lot of people who wanted to name who they cast a ballot for. There was at least one case of a group coming out, and I approached and asked how they were feeling, and they said, we're not even sure who we voted for. We just put in the name that our relative told us. So that's where that is. But other than that, turnout in Springfield came out to be about 10%, and in neighboring Chicopee, 12.12%. So low turnout in the Senate race.
The Springfield turnout is actually higher than in some recent primary elections. So let's go now to Josh. Josh, you were covering a three-way Democratic primary in Berkshire County for a exceedingly rare prize, an open statehouse seat. Remind us about the players here.
Well, first off, it's important to note that Berkshire County, one of the less populous regions of Massachusetts, has seen its delegation shrink over the years. It's currently sitting at just 3 seats. So when earlier this year, Smitty Pignatelli, the 10-term incumbent, announced he would not seek another term on Beacon Hill, it was, as you say, a rare opportunity for new blood to enter this delegation. In the first Berkshire district, we have John Barrett, a long-playing member of the Berkshire political scene. He was the mayor of North Adams for an incredibly long time. In the second Berkshires, we have Tricia Farley Bouvier, who's now been serving almost unchallenged for 13 years at this point. So again, Pignatelli's exit is a rare opportunity, and 3 people weighed in this Democratic primary to try to take advantage of that. Jamie Manassi and Patrick White, both Stockbridge Select Board members, and Lee Davis, who is the vice chair of the Great Barrington Select Board.
Now, Pignatelli, for his part, stayed out of the race, at least officially. Lee Davis was able to lock up some institutional support. And what was her margin of victory like on Tuesday night?
She took home 55% of the vote in the three-way race. White took about 38%, and Manassi took around 6.4% per unofficial numbers. So basically, of the 18 municipalities, Davis won in 17 of them. The only one that went to another candidate was Stockbridge, who opted for Patrick White, who, of course, is one of their sitting select board members. So he took his hometown, but the rest of the field was dominated by Lee Davis, including notably Dalton, which is a central Berkshire community that was added to the 3rd Berkshire District during redistricting in the last few years.
So now, unlike her counterparts who won in the Springfield area Tuesday, she does have a general election opponent, the independent Mary Beth Mitz. What did we hear from Davis on election night about the way forward in the, you know, the next few months here?
Well, I think she talked a lot about capitalizing on what the institutional support of the Democratic Party will look like. It was very clear how enthusiastic Democrats were about this victory for Davis. Second Berkshire State Rep Farley Bouvier handed her a phone call from Speaker of the House Ron Mariano right after her acceptance speech, her victory speech. So there's a general sense that there's a coalescing behind Davis from both the top of the state party and her possible fellow co-workers in the delegation. So again, we're talking about some extremely electable politicians falling in line behind Davis, who again, with 55% of the vote, really dominated this three-way race. So it seems like her ground game will have to once again focus on making sure that she sharp support in areas where she was weaker, namely Stockbridge. She definitely performed strongly in Lenox, which is Mary Beth Mitt's hometown. But it certainly seems like she has a headwind and, again, lots of new resources heading her way with the backing of the Democratic Party.
Okay, before we split here, I do want to stop for a minute and talk about the other big primary, which was statewide on Tuesday. There were three Republicans running for the Senate nomination. We heard from the victor, John Deaton, in our opening montage, and he will now advance to November to face Democrat Elizabeth Warren, who's going for a third term. Wondering what you guys are expecting in that race, and I should say, for folks who might be interested in learning more about John Deaton, he was a guest on our Congressional Corner series on WAMC, so we got a chance to hear from him directly. But, you know, are we expecting this race to be close? What do you think?
It would be absolutely shocking if John Deaton upset Elizabeth Warren. Certainly, Berkshire County is a deep blue part of Massachusetts. Looking at this sector of this Commonwealth, it would be nothing short of, a biblical act for John Deaton to upset Warren in Berkshire County.
James, does Deaton have any sort of name recognition in your neck of the woods that we know of?
I can't say for sure, though certainly some Deaton signs have popped up in my neck of the woods. As I've heard along the campaign trail, though, signs aren't necessarily votes. On that note, though, Hampden and Hampshire County, particularly the western portions, are home to some pretty red districts, so I am expecting at least a couple of campaign stops from Deaton, so we'll see if we can't get some audio that way.
Well, it gives us at least something to focus on in the western end of the state this fall. I expect we will be seeing both candidates trying to shore up their bases as we get closer to November 5th. And in the meantime, thank you both so much for your work on election night and for taking time to stop by the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.